And it says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. And I think he mentioned to you that we're from Southern California. You might consider it a different state or a different country. It might be a valid argument. But it's a real a privilege, I'd say, to be here as those fellow qualified ones. I don't know if you have any stocks in the stock market, but I just like to declare that I'm a shareholder. Do you know that you're a shareholder? We're holding, our share of the allotted portion. And even Paul's usage there of allotted portion, it indicates that he realized that that type in the Old Testament of the good land of Canaan, the reality of that was Jesus Christ. He realized that he was a qualified one and that his portion, his real portion, was Jesus Christ. I don't know if you take this the wrong way, but I'd like to say that the best thing going for you is your portion, Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? That's the best thing going for you. And I was recently at a wedding, and the groom, he looked into his bride's eyes at the vow time, and he said, honey, you're my most prized possession. At which time, every sister in the audience said, "Oh," and all the brothers said, "Good word, good word." But it turns out this brother was my gospel partner, and in the past, and I know his real heart. His real heart is that his possession, his most prized possession, is the Lord Jesus as his portion. I hope you can say the same. I got a new iPhone 4S. This is not my most prized possession. It may fall one day, just like the Rangers fell. I don't want any other thing to be my portion. I don't want any other thing to be my most prized possession. And I want to share a couple of verses that I really enjoyed recently. You know, this good land was first promised to Abram in Genesis 12, and then it was repeated in Genesis 13, but this is how Jehovah promised it. He said, lift up your eyes and look from the place that you are northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, all the land that you see, I will give you and to your seed forever. And then a couple verses later in 17, he said, rise up and walk. Okay, repeat after me. See. Walk. Okay? This promise, it was repeated to Moses. Moses repeated it in Deuteronomy. This was passed on to Joshua. Joshua spoke it to the children of Israel. You know how he said it? He said it this way. Every place where the sole of your feet treads, this I have given to you. So what's the point there? The point is that what you see and where you walk is what you get. What you see is what you get. On the one hand, we have to be very bold to declare that my portion is the all-inclusive Christ. And this all-inclusive Christ is an all-extensive Christ. But I have to ask you all this question and consider it. How much does your Christ include? And how far does your Christ extend? Brother Ken asked it, how big is your Christ? We declare he's big enough to walk in. But this objective Christ is also very desirous to become our subjective experience. And what you see and where you walk is really what you get. And so, how about let's go see and let's walk. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Ready, go. Okay, the title is very similar. It says, the Christ, the reality of all the positive things. And Roman numeral 1 points out that these positive things are in the universe. And there's a verse that Brother Ken shared in Colossians 1:16. Okay? It says, because in him all things were created, in the heavens and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and unto him. Okay, let's repeat that together. In him. Through him. Unto him. Okay, you know, the unto him, it must at least partially imply that all the created universe expresses him. In a certain extent, it expresses the divine characteristics. And there's a sister verse in Romans 1:20. If you've ever wondered, what about those in Africa that have never heard the direct gospel? What can the Lord expect of these ones? This is a verse to consider. It says, "For the invisible things of him, both his eternal power and divine characteristics, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being perceived by the things made, so that they would be without excuse." Did you catch that? The invisible things of God, God's invisible, right? Have been clearly seen in all the created things. The love of God, the beauty of God, the majesty of God. We're here in a redwood forest. It's not a bush anymore, right? It's the tallest trees, I think, in the world, right? It shows forth how glorious our God is. You know, the abundance of life in the Amazon, the brightness of the sun, what does that show you? It shows you the divine characteristics of our God. But I don't know if you've heard of this phrase, a pantheism. This is the worship of all those things in and of themselves. This is not what we're talking about. Actually, this may not work. Okay, it's not going to work very well. Okay, consider I have this wonderful, delightful Crystal Geyser bottle. It's very refreshing. Let's all say like Brother Ken, water. Water! Okay. Now, I wish this would have worked, but okay, you see a light source. Generally, what are you going to see up here? Okay, here, come up here, brother. Okay. What's your name again?
Spencer.
Spencer, that's right. Okay. All right, Spencer, let's just all imagine this for a second. Go ahead and take a drink right here. Yeah, take a drink. Take a drink of the Crystal Geyser. Okay, grab at it.
Can't.
You can't. Okay. Okay, thank you. Well, on the one hand, if all that we have is the shadow, then we're left empty. We're left wanting, we're left thirsty. But on the other hand, if I didn't force Spencer to do what he did, what would Spencer do? He would take a look at the shadow and he would be pointed to the reality. And he would take a drink. And he would say, "Hallelujah." Do you see that? Okay, let's read A together. Christ is the body of all the shadows. Christ is the reality of every positive thing in this universe. How about this turn to the key verses? It's Colossians 2, 16 and 17. You're going to need to pull out your Bibles. Okay, we all have it? Okay, how about the brothers read Colossians 2:16, and then the sisters read 2:17. Let's all enjoyably declare that last phrase. But the body is of Christ. How about one more time? But the body is of Christ. So there are many shadows. In fact, the Colossians, those in Colossae, they held a little too closely to these shadows. And they judged each other by how they held to these shadows. Paul came in and he said, silly Colossians, the body is of Christ is the reality. Now, it's quite interesting, actually. How frequent do you eat and drink? Hopefully every day. How frequently did they have the Sabbath? Every week. How about how frequently was there a new moon? Every month. And what was the cycle of the feasts? That was yearly. Christ is the reality, meaning that he is good daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. Christ is your enjoyment at every time. There's also something more, though, with each of these. There with the eating and drinking, Christ is our food and our drink for our satisfaction and our strengthening. I wasn't in the cafeteria, but what did you all have for breakfast? What are some things that you had for breakfast? French toast? Okay, sausage? Hot chocolate. Amen. I'm a fan of hot chocolate. Did you all enjoy that breakfast? You're all alive. You're all functioning. Actually, you're quite attentive. The breakfast has become your strengthening. You're smiling. It's become your satisfaction. Hallelujah, okay? But it's a shadow. You know, in the Old Testament, as the children of Israel walked through the wilderness, they received the bread of life. They received manna, right? But in John 6, what did the Lord say? He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread. I am the bread that came down out of heaven. I am the heavenly bread. You eat of me, you'll never need another food. And actually, as they walked in the wilderness, they also, Moses struck the rock, and they received some water to quench their thirst. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10? He said that they drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Let's say that together. That rock was Christ. Can you believe that? Paul was a shadow seer. He saw the shadows. He was good at this. He was very, 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 very steeped in the Old Testament. All he saw was only Christ. Actually, I really love the application. You know, in Exodus 17, Moses, he hit the rock, and the water came out to quench all the thirst. And in Numbers 20, they got thirsty again. Did Jehovah tell Moses to hit the rock a second time? He said, just speak to the rock, and the water will flow. Guess what that means? If you're after the reality of living water, which is Christ, all you need to do, Christ needn't be crucified twice. The first time in John 19, blood came out for redemption and water came out for life impartation. Now, the rock's behind us. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. We turn around and we speak to him. How about right now, you just speak to the Lord in any way, like, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Just say anything. You know what happened? You just got a drink. Amen. You just touched Christ as the reality of your water. And then one of the best ways to speak is to thank. And, you know, something happened to me. A good prayer among us before a meal is, thank you, Lord, for the food, right? And I think some of us like to pray, this is an awesome prayer, thank you, Lord, that you're my real food. Right? That's to touch Christ as the reality. And at a certain time, I just kind of became a thank you, Lord, you are my real food Pharisee. You know, when the young saints began to pray that, the start of a meal or the start of a meeting, I thought I had graduated from that prayer. I just an inward kind of condemning brother again. Thank you, Lord, you're my real food. And the Lord had to touch me. This is an awesome prayer. Actually, our lives need to be filled with such prayers. Lord, thank you. You're my real rock. Thank you. You're my real drink. That is to touch the reality, which is Jesus. 2 says that as the Sabbath, he's our completion and he's our rest. A brother I know recently went on a search for the best bed that existed. And, you know, he was comparing between the Tempur-Pedic. There's something new too. I think it's silicone, which doesn't get too hot like the Tempur-Pedic. You might be a fan of the down pillows. You might like just the cotton pillows. I tell you, these are shadows. Without Christ, and this is not a joke, you will not have rest. I don't know if you're like me too. I'd say that whenever I head off on a vacation or kind of a downtime, it's a danger to me because in that relaxed kind of condition, often I miss out on Christ as the reality. I hold too much to the shadows. I'd like to share a little. Even this summer, I had one of the most carefree times doing not much of anything, vegetating, you could say. I unfortunately left the enjoyment of Christ as my Sabbath for a brief period, and it was striking to me that there was no rest. There was absolutely no rest. No rest. And Matthew 11 is really our promise. You know what the Lord declares in Matthew 11, 28 through 30? He says, "Come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me." Who can say that? Who can say that to you? Only the Lord can say such words. You know, apart from your schooling and apart from an occupation, if you're working, there's actually three key labors in human life. One of those is the labor to be a good person. You're in a club called Christian Students or Christians on Campus. I don't know what it's called at Cal or on your campus. There is a labor to be a good example, right? To live a good Christian life. This is a real labor upon you. And there's also the labor of suffering. Maybe in your family life, there's some suffering right now. And I can guarantee you're in the last group of labor, and that's anxiety. You know, the brother was announcing study sessions till 1 a.m. Wow, I didn't know about that. These three labors, if you're looking for outward rest in any kind of shadow, you are heavily burdened. We need to heed the Lord's cry and come to him. Amen. Come to me. Amen. We're burdened, but his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. Hallelujah. And I love this one, tied to the month, about the new moon. Is anyone here an astronomy major? Oh, awesome, there is. I didn't realize what a new moon was. I'm sorry. You know what a new moon is? The new moon occurs. Okay, you have the Earth. You have the sun. The moon comes in between the orbit of the Earth and the sun. And so to those on Earth, all you see in the moon is the unilluminated side of the moon. It's a dark moon. But at a certain moment, a sliver of light breaks forth from the darkness. And actually, in the Jewish time, I was reading about this, it takes two witnesses. And when two witnesses saw that sliver break forth, they ran to the Sanhedrin, and it was pronounced a new month. And this was an exciting time. This was a big, actually, there was a little feast that went on. You like that? That's an awesome shadow, huh? The reality of the new moon is the new moon Christ. There will come a time you may fall into darkness, and when you turn to the reality, a sliver of light breaks forth. Isn't that awesome? How about you say that in a sweet way? New moon. How about this? New Christ. Thank the Lord. He's our new moon. That's awesome. In Lamentations 3, you know, this is not just monthly. This is daily. In Lamentations 3, his mercies are new every morning. Did some of you touch the Lord's new mercies and new grace this morning? I believe so. He's new at any time. This is the new one. He's the reality of newness itself. And yearly, he's our feast. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. As you're enjoying the turkey, just remember the reality is Christ. Okay, let's read B together. Okay, so the test, remember the promise in the Old Testament? First it was to lift up your eyes and see, and what was next? Let's say that together. Walk. Here in the point it says our daily walk. Christ is infinitely rich. He's so thankworthy. But he wants to become not just the objective portion, but even our subjective reality. And this involves our daily walk. One there says that Christ is our breath. When I was a freshman at UCLA, I did what I thought necessary, and I decided to learn how to surf. And there was a brother in the church that had some extra boards, and he gave one to me, and he took me out to PCH. And we paddled out. I had a wetsuit, and we got beyond the breaks there, and he taught me, you know, there's actually an etiquette. You know, there's an order. You can't steal each other's waves. You have to go in order. And so it was my turn, and I jumped on, and the nose of the board shot down, and I shot down, and the wave crashed over me. And there I was stuck at the bottom, and no breath. And that, no breath, no live. Yeah, it may have been a little bit premature and exaggeration, but, you know, running through my head, no, I'm too young to die. I'm a freshman at UCLA. You know, the Lord Jesus is our real breath. You know, the disciples, after the Lord had died and resurrected, they were there, oh, even, I'd say, even in a suppressed situation in a closed room. They were pressed in with anxiety and fear. And the resurrected Lord, he just appeared. He said, peace, peace, brothers. And he breathed into them and said, receive the holy breath. Receive the pneumatic Christ. He's the pneumatic Christ. He's full of breath. This is our portion. Christ is the breath. I kind of want to skip over 2 and 3. I think drink and food I highlighted. Let's read 4 together.
Christ is our life.
Amen. One more time.
Christ is our life.
Amen. So my sophomore year, no more surfing. I had started in my major. I was bioengineering, and I was under a certain kind of light there. Excellent education. I had a loving family. You could say a good situation. I had enjoyed the Lord my freshman year. But something came in, and unfortunately, it was a dark year. It really was. I had chased certain other shadows of pleasure. Some sinful things even came in. And I would just have to say that there was no light when there should have been light. Maybe some of you have touched this or are in this right now. And the Lord really was merciful to me. I'd say that through the care of the saints even, he just became my reality. You know, in Psalm 23, Jehovah is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. You know, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides waters of rest. He restores my soul. He guided me even, I'd say, on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We may be through valleys with a shadow. This is the wrong shadow. the shadow of death. But when we have Christ as our reality, we don't fear any evil. When he's with us, there's no fear. Hallelujah. Let's just even pray, Lord, be my light. What an awesome prayer that is. Lord, be my light. I need a volunteer here. I forgot. Spencer. Spencer, come here. Okay, in point five, it says that Christ is our clothing. In Galatians 3, it says that we have put on Christ. We've been baptized into Christ, and we've put on Christ. You know what clothing is good for? Clothing is good for warmth. Clothing is good for covering.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Spencer's warm. Praise the Lord, he's covered.
Amen.
And there's a third thing that clothing is good for. It's good for beauty.
Amen.
It's good for expression. You know, look at this. Oh, it's so well-dressed. You can't see his shoes. Very fashionable shoes. Spencer's looking good, right? No! Okay. No. Spencer is looking good, but amen. Do you realize that? This is your real beauty. I hope you realize that. I have, you know, this is an embarrassing confession to make. I don't like mirrors. In high school, I think I had bad skin or something, and I didn't like to look at myself in the mirror. And the Lord helped me with a prayer, a simple prayer. Lord, you're my real beauty. I suggest, I commend to you this prayer. Lord, you're my real beauty. Other times, you're feeling good. Good hair day. You have a new outfit. I commend to you. Lord, I don't take this as my beauty. I trust in you as my real beauty. As you're changing, Lord, I just put you on. I put you on. Ken and I, Brother Ken and I know this brother. Very funny story. This brother in LA, he was freshly saved. He has a deep voice. He talks like this. And he was into Russian philosophy. And I tell you, when he got saved, he was beautiful. He was just a gruff brother, but he was beautiful. And he was on campus with this other brother, and out of the corner of his eye, he saw an attractive girl. And he walked up to her. This other brother was, what is he doing? He walked right up to her, and he said, you know, God made you beautiful. You know, as if to say, and he was striking the gospel there, your beauty is nothing. God, you made you that way, and God is your real beauty. You need God. Isn't that an awesome story? Okay, and then I just want to finish with point six there. How about we all read six together? So as the saying goes, there's no place like home, right? And, you know, the dorms, I think you all can agree, the dorms are not home. Maybe this is the middle of the semester, you're homesick. Maybe this camp is making you even more homesick. These cabins are not your home. But I suggest as you walk in, open the cabin door tonight, you just realize and you just declare that, Christ, you're my real dwelling place. John 15, this was the situation when the Lord spoke this. He said, I am the vine, abide in me. He's the real eternal dwelling place. But you know, I'd say, we were talking about shadows pointing to the reality, which is Christ, our portion. I'd say in this respect too, the reality is something, not just Christ himself, but even Christ in the church. This is something of, you could say, the corporate Christ. And at the end of Psalm 23, after we are shepherded all the days of our life, where are we shepherded to? We're shepherded into the house of Jehovah. And then we declare, I will dwell in the house of Jehovah for the length of my days. When I was early in college, this was hard to say, that I will dwell in the house of Jehovah my entire life. But I just say, pray this anyway. How about we pray that? Lord, I want to dwell in you in the church my entire life. The Lord will really honor this. You will be the most blessed person to dwell all the length of my days in the house of Jehovah. So I hope that, honestly, our eyes just become wide open to see. Remember, what you see is what you get. All this might be very elementary. I realize that. Christ is my breath. Christ is my light. But you know what? It makes a big difference. To me, Brother Dick Taylor is a huge pattern. When I was young, I would have to say, I downplayed all of his touchings of shadows. Now, the more I'm around him, I realize this is the way to live a Christian life. To be in an ongoing conversation with the Lord, the moment you wake up to the moment you hit your pillow. You're my new moon. You're my breakfast. You're my bread of life. You're late to class. You run out of breath. You're my breath. You're tired. Finally, your head hits the pillow. You're my real rest. Amen. You see him. You get him. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is our portion.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Ow. Sorry. We were kidding. This is like a motivational speaker kind of thing here. Hallelujah. I just wanted to, is that right? Okay. Regarding what Brother Ben has been sharing, I just want to kind of underscore a little bit. Is that okay? Oh, okay. There you go. Thank you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is our daily. He's our daily enjoyment,
amen.
Our weekly enjoyment,
amen.
Our monthly enjoyment,
amen.
Our annual enjoyment.
Amen.
And all these things are actually even every day. Don't we enjoy him as our food and drink every day?
Amen.
I mean, isn't he your rest this morning?
Amen.
Isn't he your new moon?
Amen.
Isn't he a feast? I just feel like I'm just at a feast this morning.
Amen.
Enjoying all the things Ben had prepared and shared. Anyway, the Lord can be that to us. On the other hand, some of these matters are for example, the new moon. You may be going along and all of a sudden you have a real big experience and you need the Lord as a new beginning. Maybe at a conference. Conference times are when the Lord really wants us to have a new beginning. He's working in us. Maybe we've been going backwards too much and the Lord is speaking to us to come forward. Have a new beginning. And then sometimes there's the yearly feast. You know, what about we have the semi-annual trainings. We'll be covering Psalms, you know. What an opportunity to have a feast. Day after day, a feasting with the Lord in Psalms. It's tremendous. And then I was just looking over all these matters, and I was thinking of some experiences. You know, he's our breath, our drink. Like Ben, one time I was playing football and I got the breath knocked out of me. Have you ever had that happen? You get clobbered and you're on the bottom of a pile and you can't breathe. It's like you said, no breath, no life. You know, and you're there and you think, you know, the breath, when it's knocked out, you try to breathe and nothing comes in. And you think, well, it's over. I can't breathe. And it's getting worse. I can't. And time's running out. You feel like it's so frightful. Breath is wonderful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's our breath.
Amen.
And he's our drink, of course. Praise the Lord for water.
Amen.
Food. He's the bread. He's our light.
Amen.
He's our clothing to warm us up and be our beauty. And then he's our dwelling place. You know, I just want to mention, I have all these girls, and one time they were playing Cinderella, and we had this, and there was a snow the night before, and we had the fireplace going. And the next morning, I was at work, and the kids were playing Cinderella, and they were making one of our daughters, you know, go clean out the fireplace. and so they were, you know, they were shoveling the coals, you know, the ashes into a bag, and they put it in the trash bin. And my wife is sick, and she's in the bedroom sleeping. I'm at work, but then all of a sudden, a little bit later, one of the daughters noticed there's smoke coming from behind the door where the trash bin was. And of course, they put these ashes from the night before, they put them in a paper bag, closed it up, and then put it in the trash can. Well, next thing you know, my daughter opens the door, and all of a sudden flames shoot up and hit the ceiling. And she just, you know, there was a scream, blood-curdling scream, and of course, anyway, there was a fire, you know what I mean? And I wasn't there, and she called our neighbor, Brother 80. We have saints live next door, and they had a bunch of kids. Anyway, he came over, and he was trying to put out the fire with that little spray thing in the sink, you know. And that just made it worse. Anyway, the bottom line, the end result was we ended up in Embassy Suites. Nice hotel with a swimming pool. It was cold, and the swimming pool was indoors. You could swim at night, so all the kids enjoyed swimming. They had breakfast, anything you could eat, all you can eat, you know, every morning. And we were there for 2 weeks. And I just want, listen, that was not home. You know, you're there with kids, and you can't shovel everything into the bedrooms, you know what I mean? In Embassy Suite, all their clothes and everything's everywhere, every day. It's like, I couldn't wait to get what? Home. Christ is our home. He's our real dwelling place. This is the best place to be, right? Hallelujah, we're home. He's our dwelling. There's no place like this. Amen. Anyway, going on to point C, because this we don't have much time this session. Let's just read that. As we consider all the positive things in the universe, we should evaluate them according to Christ. And in the verse there, you can see what Paul did. He considered what? He says, what things were gains to him, I count as loss. Why? On account of Christ. And even he goes on, moreover, I count all things loss on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, on account of whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ. Eventually, it should be that all the things that we gain, we just consider. They just don't compare to Christ, the excellency of knowing Him. You know, when I first moved into the brother's house, I had a new car. And the first thing the brothers told me, you know, the brothers came out to meet me, and they saw my car. And they all said, oh, praise the Lord, he has a car. And I what does that mean? Doesn't everybody have a car? Well, that meant some of them did not have cars. And that meant they got rides now and this and that. So, and one of the first things that happened, one of the brothers borrowed my car, and he came back, and he gave me the keys. And, oh, by the way, I'm sorry, I kind of bumped it. You know, I didn't see this pole, you know. Anyway. Anyway, praise the Lord, brother. Okay. But you know what was awesome? I was enjoying the Lord during that time. The Lord was wonderful. I just said, amen, brother. Praise the Lord. I'm crazy, man, you know. But that's what we need to be. We need to be crazy. The Lord is more excellent than anything. You know, some people, they get their cars and they park. They're always afraid of everything. And they park far away or take up two spaces or just to keep their car from getting dinged or whatever. And a brother did it again. Another brother came, oh, I didn't see a fire hydrant back then. I just didn't see it. Sorry, brother. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we need to value everything according to what? Christ. He's the most excellent one in the universe. All these other things, they're not the same. Okay, D, according to the context, the prize in Colossians 2:18 is the enjoyment of Christ as the body of the shadows. To be defrauded of our prize is to be defrauded of our subjective enjoyment of Christ. And of course, I know a number enjoyed some of these verses this morning. And I just want to, again, remind you of this. Beware that no one carries you off as spoil through the philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. And then, let's see, that's verse 8. Then, let's see, what I'm looking for is verse 14, though. No, that's not it. Colossians... I'm in the wrong chapter. 3:14. No, that's not it either. Anyway, somewhere in here there's this matter of the prize. Where is it? 2:18. Okay, I'm getting confused here. Okay, yeah, and let no one defraud you by judging you unworthy of your what? Your prize. Your prize. Our prize is what? Christ, it's enjoying Him as the reality of all the positive things. Enjoying Him as our food. Enjoying Him as our rest. Enjoying Him as our breath, our drink, our clothing, our dwelling. Just enjoying Him all the time in so many ways. May the Lord really invade our lives to enjoy Him. I mean, when I first started work, you know, I used to go up this elevator, you know, in the business. And it was just, what do you do when you get in an elevator? Yeah, enjoy the Lord. Lord, you're my elevator. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm going up. Amen. Resurrection. Hallelujah. And even when I go down, I say, Lord, I'm going down, but I'm really going up. And anyway, I was doing my best to enjoy the elevator. And so even you get on there, it's real silent with everybody on there. You just enjoy, hallelujah, I'm in resurrection. I'm going up. Anyway, we just need to enjoy Him. When you shave, well, sisters, you don't shave, but a lot of the brothers don't shave either. But anyway, when I shave, you know, what do you have the sense? I just have the sense, Lord, I'm just cutting away something natural, something old. You just pray that way. Lord, thank you. I can, you're my real shaver. You know, cut away what's natural. Lord, cut away what's of me. You know, amen, Lord. I like to have a fresh beginning. You know, and then there's another one that's real common. Anyway, hallelujah. Okay, I'll just go on. Yeah, and now this is where I want to introduce something. And this is just based on my experience, and it just, in one of the conferences, it just kind of came out, and I just want to mention. And maybe you can write these down. And practically, in my experience and what I've seen with so many saints, there's four things that defraud us of our prize, our enjoyment of Christ. There's four things. And, you know, I mentioned last night some things. We talked about, you know, maybe the internet, it may be games. These are things that may defraud us of our prize. But actually, that's not the root. That's not the root of the problem. There's something else that defrauds us of our prize. The first thing I would say that defrauds us of our prize is this. That is, when we stop reading the Bible. You know, maybe you're not reading the Bible. Well, if you're not reading the Bible, then I would just say, danger, danger, little warning sign, warning, warning. Your prize is being, you're being defrauded of your prize. And if you're reading the Bible, if you stop reading the Bible, listen, everything begins to go down. You just check with anyone. If they're reading the Bible and then they stop reading the Bible, what happens in your spiritual life? You're starting to nosedive. It doesn't take long. We need to stay in the reading of the Bible. This is how the Lord speaks to us. This is His Word. This is Him presenting Himself to us. Just consider all the things in Colossians. We have to stay in the reading of the Bible. When we stop reading the Bible, we stop getting light. We don't see things properly. And then the second thing I would say is when we stop confessing our sins. Saints, always keep accounts, short accounts with the Lord. It's good. You know, every day, at least once, should be many times, whenever there's shortcomings, wrongdoing, sins, Just confess. The Lord is faithful and righteous to cleanse us of our sins. If you don't confess your sins, then you've got problems in your conscience. There's a condemnation there, this kind of bothering. And it keeps you from what? Enjoying the Lord. It's really hard to enjoy the Lord if you told somebody they're a creep, and you meant it. And later on, you don't say anything to them. Well, you get with another brother. Let's pray, Reed. Hey, man. All of a sudden, you feel like, I didn't get anything. Well, what was the problem? You got defrauded of your prize by not confessing your sin to the Lord and repenting to the other. Right? The third thing that defrauds us of our prize. This is when we stop speaking for the Lord, speaking forth the Lord, stop praying, stop talking to the Lord. Anytime our mouth stops, our Christian life goes down, and our enjoyment of the Lord as our prize gets robbed, we get cheated of that prize. We sang that song in Isaiah, therefore with joy shall ye draw water. Amen. I like that. Draw water. Draw water. Let's all say that. Draw water out of the wells of salvation. And when you draw water, when you're enjoying the Lord, it's hard to enjoy the Lord with your mouth shut. Then what? What does it say? Therefore, in that day shall you what?
Praise
the Lord. Now, how do you say praise the Lord without your mouth? In that day shall you what? Say, praise the Lord. What's the next phrase?
Call
upon his name. Okay, try that. No, I mean do it without your mouth open. Call upon his name. Then what?
Declare
his doings. Come on, let's hear it. Declare implies speaking, declaring, even announcing with joy, declare. Then what's the next phrase? Make mention that his name is exalted. Okay, Rob, make mention, brother.
His name is exalted.
No, without your mouth open. See, you get the point? You can't do it. You need your mouth open. Make mention that what? His name is exalted. Then what?
Cry out.
Okay, try that one. How do you cry out without your mouth? Our mouth is key. The Christian life is a life of open mouth. Declaring, calling, crying out, making mention. Is there another one after that? Cry out and shout. Yeah, shout. How about that one? Try shouting. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. Anyway, the point is all those little points in that little song in Isaiah 12, it's all about having our being open, speaking, praising, declaring, calling. Amen. The fourth thing, the last thing, I'm sure there's a lot of things, but this is something that just kind of stands out in the way of defrauding us of our prize, and that is when we stop meeting. We stop gathering together with the believers. When all this happens, when you stop getting to a meeting, that's a big thing. All I can say is get your bones to the meeting. Even if you're sleeping in the meeting, there's probably some here sleeping. Just shout, hallelujah. There's brother, he's a little tired back there, right? Hallelujah, he's here. Brother Lee said, every meeting you get to, I like this, said, any meeting you get to, that's a celebration of Christ's victory.
Amen.
Let's all shout, victory.
Victory.
We're here. You made it. It's a celebration of Christ's victory. Some brothers, they're in a meeting and you just think they're not listening. They're doing other things. And I remember one brother, I just like, man, I can't even get him to look at me. I'm talking and he's just messing with something. Then eventually, you know what? You ask him a question and it's like, bing, 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 bing. He got all the points, has all the points. How does that happen? I don't know how they... But just being in the meeting, there's something that happens. You know what? At the one thing that happens that's really awesome, there's the hearing of faith. You get faith. Faith is coming at you. Sorry, you're sitting in the line of faith. Hallelujah. Faith is aimed at you to give you appreciation for Christ. So you walk away with a little more appreciation for Christ. But what happens when you stop meeting? You don't hear much appreciation. So therefore, your appreciation for Christ and your faith in Christ and your love of Christ starts going what? Downward. I was going to say try it. No, don't try it. Just be assured, believe me, when you miss the meetings, things go down. When you stay in the meetings, your faith and appreciation goes up. Your love goes up. And eventually, all these things, saints, well, I won't go there. Hallelujah. Anyway, those are the four things. What are they? When we stop what? Reading the Bible, stop confessing, stop speaking, and stop meeting, gathering. Okay. Then Roman numeral 2, all together. Can we read this? The very Christ, who is the reality of all positive things, is the one who is the head of the body. Thus, to hold the head is simply to enjoy Christ, reality of all positive things. And there's this verse, Colossians 2:19. I'll just read it to you, and just you could listen. And I'll just start with holding the head out from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together, what happens? Well, it's by means of joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God. So the very Christ, who is the reality of all the positive things, this one who is the delight of the Father, he's everything to the Father, and he's becoming everything to us as we enjoy him. Well, he's the head of the body. This is a big thing. So as we enjoy him, we're actually holding him. As you love him, you're holding the head. Well, there's something marvelous happening there. As you're holding the head, what's happening? There is a supply. There's a supply. And it comes from the joints. The joints have a supply. And the sinews has a function of what? Knitting us together. When there's an enjoyment of the Lord, when there's a supply from the head, it allows the Lord to knit us together. What if you get together and all you do is play games? Do you get knit together? You might get knit together in games, but related to the body of Christ, nothing's happening. To be built up as the body of Christ, it comes from holding the head, loving the head, enjoying him as the reality of all the positive things, enjoying him all the aspects of the good land. Enjoying him. To hold him is to enjoy him. Amen. If you hold him and enjoy him, there's the way for the Lord to what? Get a supply to you. There's a supply. And there's a knitting together. And then what? There's a building up. There's the growth that's for building up. Then, more specifically, I like point 1 and 2. Brothers, could you read 1 and sisters 2? Brothers, 1. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. A first, all together. Since the Christ whom we enjoy as our everything is the head of the body, the more we enjoy him, the more we become body conscious. The more we enjoy him, what? The more we become body conscious. Okay, brothers, 1. No. Amen. Sisters. Amen. In Ephesians 3, I really like this. These are kind of sister verses to the verse in Colossians I was just mentioning. But in Ephesians 4, this is referred to here, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Of course, this is a long verses, and there's a lot going on here. But I like the way it begins and the way it ends. It begins with, but holding to truth in what? Holding to truth in love. And in the context here, you know what truth is? You know what truth is? It's Christ. He's the truth. He's the reality. And it's all not only that, in the context, it's Christ and the church. It's Christ and the church. as you hold to Him and you hold to what's on His heart, the church, you enjoy Him, hold to Him, what happens? Well, especially holding to Him in what? In love. I mean, in love. Let's all say that. In love. We're not here performing. You know, we're loving Him. Listen, if you enjoy something, you'll love it. You know, there's something in Texas called Bluebell ice cream. It's homemade vanilla Bluebell ice cream. You're shaking your head. Have you had it? It's good. That's right. Once you taste it and enjoy it, you know what? You kind of love it. And when you leave Texas and you come to California, as I did 6 years ago, where's the Bluebell, you know? And everywhere I go, you know, I've gone, you know, I've been recently to Australia and New Zealand and up in Vancouver a couple weeks ago. They say, oh, this is the best ice cream. And, you know, they take you to this place and it's the best ice cream. You know, and they already know that I've told them about Bluebell. They think it's going to win. But I have to be kind of nice a little bit. Yes, that's not bad. Pretty good. But I can't say I love it. No. There's only one. Bluebell ice cream. You have to go to Texas and try it. Anyway, when you enjoy the Lord, what happens? You just fall in love with Him. You just love Him. Lord, you're my food. You're my drink. You're the water. You're my clothing. You're everything to me. Nothing matters but you. You're the Father's delight, and you're my delight. The more you enjoy Him, the more you love Him. And the end result of these two verses, you hold to truth and love, there's a lot happening. And look at how it ends up at the end of verse 16. I'll just read it to you. It causes growth of the body unto the building up of itself. There's a building up of itself. And then Paul says it again, in love. Hallelujah for the building up of itself in what? Love. So it begins with holding the head. Holding to truth what? In love. And the ending is, we're built up together in what? Love. And the point here that's being made and these other points underneath that, well, that point, as well as the next one, the more we enjoy Christ, the more we love the members of the body. We love one another. There's something going on. You know, there's that song. Are you familiar with it? We know, we know. You did the other part. Yeah. We know, we know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love. We love the brothers. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Anyway, I won't go through the rest of it. That's from 1 John. That's how we know we're believers. One of the points you realize, you're a believer because you love the brothers. Do you love the brothers? You must be a believer. Hallelujah, we're believers. But especially as we're holding to Him. We enjoy Him. Next thing you know, there's a supply. There's a way to get built up together. Is it possible to really get blended together, knit together without supply? That's rough. That's like coexistence. You know, you live together, but you don't enjoy the Lord. It's rough, you know. It's like a squeaky wheel that needs oil, you know. I like the illustration of flour. How does flour become a loaf? You know, you can shake it up. You can stir up flour, but what does it need? It needs oil. It needs something that makes it blendable. What do you need when you're with one another? Oil. You need the Spirit. You need the enjoyment of the Lord. You need supply. And it's in that supply that we can be blended together. You know, there's. I've been with some, and, you know, their voice, when I was young, their voice drove me crazy. I just hear their voice, and I was like, to me, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. And I hated that. I had that feeling, you know what I mean? And so What's the solution? I needed Christ. I needed to enjoy the Lord. And actually, it bothered me so much. One time I went and I took a walk, and I said, Lord, I hate that I have these feelings. I mean, even that brother would pray, and I just like, oh. I know that happens with some of you. You're laughing because you've had that happen. But it was so beautiful because I the Lord just touched me. I mean, who are you to judge? He showed me some verses. Who are you to judge your brother? Don't you know that your brother, your sister, you know, they have to stand before the judgment seat and give an account? Who are you to add judgment to him? He's already got to stand before the Lord. What are you doing? Silly man. That's me, you know what I mean? And I was just smitten. I saw touching the Lord, enjoying the Lord, how much the Lord loved that brother. He loves that brother. And when the Lord, I got the supply from the Lord, guess what happened when I saw that brother? I couldn't help but love him. When he spoke, I just said, amen. Speak to me. Amen. It's like, yes. And eventually, you know, as time went on, you know, that brother eventually, now he has a fatal illness. And I'm just so glad that I had opportunity to get cleared up in my relationship with him. To just love the brothers. Don't let anything come in to keep you from loving one another. And what you need is him. You need to enjoy Christ. Enjoy him as the reality of all the positive things. He's the joy between two people. You can be totally opposite from one another and have problems with one another. But the enjoyment of the Lord is the supply that allows us to be knit together and built up. This is beautiful to the Lord. This is a beautiful expression. Listen, the Lord is not just us coming together. We're just all here together. You know, we're in unity. Listen, he wants something deeper, something of oneness, something that is a matter of knitting together, of blending together, of ones. Then that's something that expresses him. It's not we're all here behaving. You know, it's not behavior, you know, behavior modification. It's we're here enjoying the Lord, and he's doing something real. He's building us together in love. So anyway, we love the brothers. Then lastly, point B. Can we read that all together? When we allow Christ to be the head in everything, and when we grow up into him in all things by enjoying him, we will be supplied with the riches of his life, receiving from him to transfuse him into other members of the body. So here's another last point, and that is, when you get supplied by the Lord, you get something that you can give one another. You get supplied and you can transfuse. You can infuse. You can share. You can dispense. You can minister Christ to others. But first you have to get supplied, right? You know, there's a verse. This verse is referred to here, 2 Corinthians 3:6. I hope you all would be aware of this and pay attention to this verse. If you want to look at it, because it's tremendous. To me, I just think it revolutionized my thinking, because it says this, how the Lord, he is the one who has made us sufficient as ministers. He has made us sufficient as ministers. Did you hear that? He's made you sufficient as a minister. You might as well tell the one next to you, you're a minister. And now you have to tell them, even you're a sufficient minister. Who did that? He made you that. This is what the Bible says. Do you believe it? He made you sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. But then it goes on to explain. Not of the letter. Not of the letter, but what? Of the Spirit. We're not ministers of the letter. We're ministers of what? The Spirit. What do you really want to give one another? Spirit. Because what does it say after that? The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Oh, saints, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What do we want to give one another? Life. Hallelujah. You know, I'll just tell this quick story. When I was in the 70s, early 70s, I came into the church life, and at that time, I was away from the Lord, and I was in kind of the hippie culture. And my dad was a minister, and he did not like what he saw. And in particular, he didn't like my hair, because my hair was long. And he would, when I'd come home, he'd share a verse with me. And the verse said, "It is a shame for man to have long hair." It's right there in the Bible. Where is it? I always try to stay away from that. But anyway, 1 Corinthians. It's a shame for a man. And this is I can still hear my dad. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. What was he doing when he shared that to me? Was that the Spirit giving life? No. It was the letter. It's just the black and white letter. And you think about it. The Bible has been used for centuries as black and white letters, you know, for Christians to argue and dispute over so many non-essential matters. And they've just used the word to kill each other. And even I thought, that's what, you know, growing up, I thought, well, eventually, yeah, I got to study the word, get to the point where I can argue really well with others. You know, you got to defend the faith, right? And so to me, it was all a matter of learning to the point you can argue with people. And I was not good at that. The only thing I knew how to do is enjoy the Bible eventually. But anyway, one thing that happened, once I touched the church life, no one said anything to me, but I had a feeling within, I think I need to get my hair cut. Nobody said anything. But guess what I did? I went back to my dad, who used to cut my hair as a kid. He cut my hair as a kid, and he always did it his own way, never what I wanted. You know, junior high, still. I never went to a barber. He was the barber, and he did it his way. Well, this time he came to me, and he did something he never did before. He asked me, he said, well, of course he was shocked when I said, I'd like to get my hair cut, and I'd like for you to cut it. Of course, he was just like, what? And then he said, how do you want it? Wow. He never said that. And you know what I said? I said, however you feel, Dad. And so he cut my hair, and I got up. And I can't tell you how filled with the Lord I was. Amen. I just felt like I was the Lord of glory was all over me. Amen. And I went on my way, and I just thanked him. And anyway, my point is, the letter kills. The Spirit gives life. We don't use the word to pierce one another, cut one another. We use the word to give life to one another. I hope we would be so impressed. Let's all say this again. The letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. I hope this is all you want. When you know, when we stand to prophesy, we speak for the Lord. Do you really just want to share some knowledge or some points? It may be knowledge. It may be some points. That's okay. But what is your real heart's desire? But I want to give everyone around me what? The Spirit. Amen. I want to give them life. Amen. The Spirit gives what? Life. I don't want them to just get letters. Life. Amen. I think that's it. Amen. That's my burden. Okay.